Sri Vishnu Sahasranama. I'll just backtrack to a name that I just did. It often happens that I speak on a name, and then after speaking on it, I think, oh, Krishna inspires me to think of some other meanings, some other nuances. Now, the name Tushta, I recently spoke of. One important point is that by knowing him, surrendering to him, even thinking of him, if one's devotionally inclined, one also becomes satisfied. Tushta means satisfied. There's no other way to be satisfied. The commentators on Sri Vishnu Sahasranama, they explain Tushta to mean more of happiness. Satisfaction is a facet of happiness. I suppose it's possible to be happy without being satisfied. The kind of happiness that materialistic people have is bursts of pleasure, but there's no underlying satisfaction. They get pleasure from sense gratification, but real happiness is the real basis of happiness is the satisfaction of being in one's constitutional position of service to Krishna. And there's a very nice verse in this regard by Sri Yamuna Acharya and his Stotra Ratna, which is also quoted in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Bhavantame vanu charan nirantara. What's the next line? Prashanta nishesha manoratantara kadahamai kandika nitya kinkara prahashayishami sanata jivita. This is expressing complete sadhana. We can understand from the verse itself that it's oozing such happiness, the satisfaction of being situated at Krishna's lotus feet, that he's saying, when will that day be mine? That I will be situated as your servant. Then the peregrinations of the mind will cease, and I'll be fully satisfied living with my master, fixed up, knowing that I have my master. So this is an expression of transcendental satisfaction in the service of Krishna. That is the only way that there is transcendental satisfaction. All right then, name 399 is Neya. That's not a very well-known name. Much better known name is Neta, leader. Neta means one who leads, a leader. Neya means one who is led. So naturally we always think of the Supreme Lord as the leader, and we are led by him. But he also agrees to be led by his devotees. He takes that position of being the servant to his devotee. He lets himself be governed. He's not constitutionally a follower, but he lets himself be the follower of his devotees, or as if the follower of his devotees. There are many, or the servant of his devotees. I don't think there's any devotee who says that their ambition is to have Krishna as their servant. There's not a very devotional mood. It seems almost shocking to say so. But there are devotees who wish to reciprocate with Krishna in the parental relationship, that they will take the role of a parent. And apart from having actually a better opportunity to serve the child, than an official servant, inasmuch as the parent will deal with all the... well, it can be that there may be a hired nurse who cleans up all the bodily wastes that come out of the stool, the urine, the dribble that comes out of the baby's body. The mother especially is concerned with these acts. So it's a very intimate way of serving. And the parents serve the child to bring, to raise the child to adulthood. But the parents also expect the children to be obedient, and they take pleasure in that. It's not that they just simply serve them, but they also become happy when the child expresses gratefulness and expresses obedience to the parent. Not that the parents are expected to be in some kind of megalomaniacal mood in which they want to control every aspect of the life of their child, but some basic obedience and respect is expected. There's one very nice painting of Krishna, little baby Krishna, carrying his father's wooden footwear on his own head. And the father tells his child, the baby, bring the wooden paduka. That's the term. In English, I don't know what you call it, maybe slippers or something like that. So the wooden shoes. And Krishna is very small, so he struggles to bring it on his head. To put someone's shoes on your head is a sign of great submission. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, thinking Nanda to be his father, becomes the order carrier, and with great difficulty, because he's a small child and the shoes are quite big and heavy in relation to his age and strength, he carries those shoes on his head. Of course, Krishna, that's his pastime, because even as a child, when just a little older, he not only picked up the Govardhan hill, but held it on the little finger of his left hand for 7 days. But Krishna sometimes enacts these pastimes of being the servant of his devotee. Very famously as Partha Sarathi, the driver, the chariot driver of Arjuna. And Arjuna tells Krishna, you do this, you do that, you go there, here, you go there. Krishna, having accepted the position of servant to his devotee, even though the devotee is constitutionally the servant of Krishna, Krishna may choose to become the servant of his devotee. And the devotee also being covered by Yoga Maya, those who are very dear to him, they don't try to interfere with that. And it's not that Arjuna, every time he wants Krishna to maneuver the chariot, bows down, offers him arati and says, could you just please steer the chariot a little bit to the left? But he gets fully into the mood of it, that I'm the chariot fighter here and Krishna's the chariot driver. Here, Krishna, senayorobhaya madhye, rate sthapya mechita. Achyuta, you just place my chariot in the midst of the two armies. He tells Krishna, he orders him. And Krishna is very happy to fulfill his order. Similarly, he's Pandavadutam in Kanchipuram. There's one temple. I believe that must be a Divya Desham of the Ramanuja Sampradaya, which is called Pandavadutam, the messenger of the Pandavas. In here, Pandava especially means Yudhishthira Maharaj. Krishna was sent by Yudhishthira to bring a message or a suing for peace with Duryodhana. Duryodhana, Yudhishthira knew and Krishna knew that Duryodhana was not in a mood to compromise. There was no need for the preparations for battle, only because Duryodhana was pig-headed, stubborn and unreasonable. But anyway, they thought it's just, at least for the sake of propriety, we should make one more last effort at peace. So Krishna became the servant of Yudhishthira and brought the message to Duryodhana. But he didn't agree to what Duryodhana wanted Krishna to do, to obey his, Duryodhana's order, or to become submissive to him. But when Duryodhana invited Krishna to dine with him, Krishna refused. Now, according to Naralila, or Lokik Vyavaha, human-like pastimes or ordinary dealings, worldly dealings, Krishna should not have refused, because Duryodhana, rightly or wrongly, was the king. And he was elder to Krishna. So, and anyway, generally, if someone invites you, you don't refuse. But Krishna refused. He agrees to come under the control of his devotees, but he doesn't agree to come under the control of non-devotees. Doesn't agree to that. He may fulfill the order of some rishi just out of respect, as he did with Durvasa, when he and Rukmini were in Dwaraka, and Durvasa wanted Krishna and Rukmini to draw the chariot for him. Very strange pastime. Krishna agreed. So it's up to him. Durvasa is not famous as a great devotee, but Krishna wanted to show how one should respect the brahmanas and rishis. So he agreed to do so, but he's not obliged to. He may become the servant, but he's not obliged to. But he feels obliged to in the case of his devotees. He would not consider refusing Yudhishthira. Yudhishthira wouldn't have even proposed that, or agreed to such a proposition, that Krishna take the message to Duryodhana. If he hadn't been in, Yudhishthira knew that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, but at the same time, he was in the mood of treating Krishna as his younger cousin brother. So both moods were going on simultaneously. Very difficult to understand. As Kunti Devi, the mother of the Pandavas, she says, it's very difficult to understand how, there's so many things, how he is fear personified, yet he becomes afraid of the punishment of Mother Yashoda. So Krishna agrees to be governed, agrees to be led by his devotees, to do what they say. Arya Vachasa Yadaga Daranyam, that's stated in the Bhagavatam. When that is in relationship to Lord Rama, that means he obeyed the order of the respectable person to go to the forest. So he did, as Ramachandra, he's the Supreme Lord, but he took the order of his father. As Krishna also, he takes the order of his father to go to the forest. Now you take the cows or the calves and go to the forest. So Krishna takes the order. He's ready to do that. Even though constitutionally everyone has to take orders from Krishna. other interpretations. One who is the proper person to be sought after. In the introduction, or the preface to the Krishna book, that George Harrison writes, that everyone is looking for Krishna. Some people realize it and some people don't realize it. So everyone's looking for something. We all desire to have something. We all have plans to find out something. No one in this material world is satisfied, and we're always working towards or dreaming about a better situation in life. Something that will improve our life. So we're always looking for something. But what we're all ultimately looking for is Krishna. Everyone's looking for happiness. We may look for happiness in getting more money, in having a strong body, in winning a prize, in being top of the class. We may look for happiness in various ways, but looking for happiness means that we're all ultimately looking for Krishna. He is attainable by the proper means. That's another interpretation given. He can be attained, but not by any imaginary means. There is a specific method to attain him, that he gives himself, the path of bhakti yoga. Now, our Gauriya Vaishnav commentator, Sri Baladeva Vidyabhushan, he gives a similar meaning to that of the... He often gives different meanings, but to that... The standard ones given by other commentators. But he gives the meaning that he is... Naya means that he is submissive to those devotees who approach him in friendship. And there are so many examples. He became the ally of Sugriva and fulfilled the behest. He killed Vali as a service, becoming the servant in that sense, mutual friendship. They helped each other in their domestic matters. So the next name is very similar. It's name 400 according to this counting system. So I'm getting there gradually, 40%. Of the way through, probably another few years before we finish this. Depends how often I speak on this, obviously. Naya. So that can also mean like Nayak, in the sense of being a guide. But it means here one who draws everyone towards himself. So it's similar to the name Krishna. In Krishna means who is the attraction, akarshan, sarva akarshak, who is attractive to all. So Naya means one who draws everyone toward themselves. Baladev Vidyabhushan, he gives the meaning very similar to that of Naya. He carries out the orders of his pure devotees. So the two basic meanings: one who draws everyone towards himself, and one who leads others forward, like a guide. It actually has this. Of course, there are many names which are similar to guide or path or leader, but all the names have their little nuances. They're not all exactly the same, even though they may have very they may have similar meanings, but how the meaning is reached is somewhat different. Just the example is given. What we say in English, tree, but in Sanskrit there are various words which describe the qualities by which that entity is known as a tree. For instance, padapa, who drinks through the leg, means a tree. Vriksha, that which is liable to be cut, to be felled. So this word naya gives the sense of bringing from one place to another, picking some that would, or that reminds us of the in the Ramanuja Sampradaya, the idea, the Tengalai idea, that how the Lord delivers his devotees, like the cat, Majaranyai, the cat lifts up the kitten and just brings the kitten here and there. The only thing the kitten does in this regard is to be a kitten. That's all. The cat does all the work. So in the Tengalai sub-sampradaya of the Ramanuja Sampradaya, the idea is there that he brings us. All you have to do is be a devotee and he will bring you. Specifically, one has to surrender to him at least once. Whereas in the Vardagalai Sampradaya, they add here to the Markartanya, is that the Lord will take you, but you have to hold on also, just like the baby monkey is carried here and there by the mother, but the baby monkey has to hold on. So you have to do your work also. But in either case, the Lord brings the devotee. Idea of bringing or drawing us toward him. When Rama was in Dandakaranya, the sages who saw him, they sought his protection. They were drawn to him. Even though they could fully protect themselves by their tapobalam, their power that they'd achieved through austerities, they could burn up any number of rakshasas. But they entrusted themselves to Lord Rama, being attracted to him. They understood that he's not just any other kshatriya. He's the Supreme Lord, and they became attracted to him, desiring to relate to him in the most intimate manner of lovers to a beloved. And Lord Rama told them, "All right, you can join me in that way, but not this time. Next time when I come as Krishna, you can take the form of gopis." An example of leading on the right path is obviously Krishna with Arjuna. Krishna gave the proper guidance. He brought him out of ignorance. Nashto moha smriti labdha tvat prasadan mayachuta. He took Arjuna out of ignorance into knowledge. Oh, it's very thick page. Oh, very thick pages. Yeah. So, and then the next name, Naya, and then the next name is Anaya. So this is very common, we'll find this. So often we'll find two opposite words juxtaposed, both of them being names of or qualities of the Supreme Lord, as he reconciles all opposites within himself. Jitta, ajitta. Yeah. One can conquer the unconquerable Lord by jnane prayasa mudapas, etc., by accepting the proper means of becoming a humble servant, associating with devotees, hearing from them about Krishna, and dedicating oneself mind, body, and words to Krishna, then he who is unconquerable agrees to be conquered. So that doesn't say, then if he's unconquerable, then how is he conquered? He's unconquerable means that constitutionally he is the greatest, but he agrees to be conquered by the pure love of his devotees. So he is constitutionally the one who is under no one's control, the one who is independent, he can do whatever he likes. That is his that we should remember. We shouldn't think that by my devotion, no devotee thinks that by my devotion I will control Krishna. No devotee has such a pride. But if one actually becomes so strong in devotion that one loves Krishna because he's Krishna. What's the reason you love? You don't think about why you love him. Just the love is so natural that Krishna agrees to come under the control of such a devotee. We don't find any narrations of the inhabitants of Vrindavan sitting together and discussing philosophy and why we should surrender to Krishna. They never think philosophically at all, hardly. It's not there. They're not even supposed to. I mean, this philosophy is meant for brahmanas and to some extent for kshatriyas, not for vaishyas. They may have some very rudimentary ideas of what is dharma, what is proper and what is not proper, but even at the vaishya level, the understanding of dharma is not very developed. Of course, they have to perform their dharma, but they don't have to think about it very much. That's more for the brahmanas and the kshatriyas. So brahmanas are more on the theoretical platform, and kshatriyas, they have to practically uphold dharma in the society. But vaishyas, they don't think about all these things, and especially the forest vaishyas who are just herding cows, like Nanda Maharaj. They're not concerned with all such high intellectual thoughts, but they simply love Krishna. And so Krishna agrees to be controlled by them. But Krishna agrees to be controlled by his devotee, but it's not that a devotee thinks that now I shall control Krishna. A devotee takes great pleasure in hearing about how the great devotees control Krishna, and he wishes to become the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of such great devotees. And in this way he can serve Krishna. They serve him best who serve him without reasoning why or trying to understand. They just serve him why? They don't even think why. They're just naturally and spontaneously attracted to Krishna. But Krishna, even though he comes under the control of simple village women, he will not agree to come under the control of powerful persons like Kamsa. Superficially, he followed Kamsa's order. Kamsa's order was sent to the inhabitants of Vrindavan with Akrura, now you all come to Mathura. We're having a festival over there, wrestling, and there's a whole fair, whole stadium has been put up. So Nanda Maharaj went bringing the taxes, dutifully bringing to the king milk products, So, in this way, not exactly Krishna was following the order, because the order was not for a young boy. The young boy went along with his father. Then Krishna followed the order of Kamsa to engage in the wrestling match. He wasn't obliged to. He could just, by thinking, he could have killed this Chanura, the wrestler. But anyway, he may or he may not. If it's convenient to him, Krishna may follow the order of some demon also, if it fits his pastime. If it's not, he doesn't. With his devotee, he doesn't have any choice. Doesn't have any choice means impelled by love and allowing himself to be moved here and there by yoga maya. That's described in the Bhagavatam. When Krishna, seeing the autumn moon, the moon at the beginning of the autumn season, and then Krishna thought, oh, very good time for dancing. It's just nice. It's not very hot at night in that season, and not very cold. And there's a nice full moon, so we can see what's doing. So, and Krishna then yogamaya mupashrita. He took shelter of his yogamaya potency, who orchestrated all of these activities. So Krishna may agree to the propositions of the demons, but just to fulfill his own purpose. And the purpose was fulfilled, that Krishna killed, beginning with Chanura, so many wrestlers, and then he killed Kamsa himself. So Krishna has his own way of doing things. So Kamsa might have thought, ah, yeah, see, there's Krishna. Yeah, see, he's doing what I say, so he'll be taken care of nicely now. This Krishna's supposed to kill me, but this Chanura will kill him. But then Kamsa saw Chanura, his great fighter, killed. Then another one killed, then another one killed, and then Krishna came for him, and then Kamsa knew, oh, now I'm finished. Still he drew his sword. Krishna didn't have a sword, he's only a young boy from a village. Maybe he never saw a sword before. Maybe a Krura was wearing one, but he wouldn't have taken it out of its sheath. But anyway, Krishna wasn't concerned. With his bare hands, the little boy beat up and killed this great demon who even the demigods were afraid of. That's Krishna. Doesn't come under anyone's control. He does come under the control of his devotees, but not of the non-devotee. Cannot be taken away. Anaya means cannot be taken away. Literally, Ravana, having in the pastime of Lakshman being knocked unconscious by the Shakti, one kind of terrible weapon that Ravana had used to knock out Lakshman. Anyone else would have been killed, but anyway, you can't kill Lakshman. So Ravana wanted to carry him away, but he couldn't carry him away. He's still the Supreme Lord, even if he's enacting the pastime of being unconscious. Another meaning, aya, means there's income, wealth, prosperity. So anaya means, gives the idea that without him, there's nothing worth having. If you have everything in the world, but you don't have Krishna, then you have nothing. If you have nothing but you have Krishna, then you have everything. So, he's the natural leader of everything. So, another example of how he moves, but he's naya, anaya. There are so many opposites that I gave. Jitta, jitta. They're in the Upanishads, there are many examples of this in the Isha Upanishad, that He moves but does not move. He has no legs but he moves. He has no eyes but he sees. So it's understood by this he has no material legs, because there are description of his beautiful lotus feet. So when he says he has no legs, it means he doesn't have these that we have. So another meaning is that he's not led by anyone means. A leader is not led by anyone means he himself knows what to do. He doesn't need anyone to instruct him. He knows how to lead others. Without anyone having to instruct him, we have to learn everything in parampara. The knowledge is given to someone, and then they give it to someone else, and they give it to someone else. But Krishna, he first gave Tene Brahma Hridaya Adi Kaviye. He first of all gave knowledge to Brahma. And who did he get it from? He didn't get it from anyone, because he already has it all. Krishna superficially went through the emotions of learning from Sandipani Muni. But Krishna already knew everything. Otherwise, how could he learn all the arts? I mean, even to learn one art, it may take a lifetime to become or many years. Radharani, she is Kalavati, she's full of knowledge of all the arts. These arts are means of pleasing others, to be an expert cook. If someone's an expert cook, that's something very pleasing for others, that the cooking should be for Krishna. But the one who's an expert cook, you don't expect them also to be an expert dancer, an expert magician, an expert in music, an expert in so many. Usually you're just expert in one thing, because to be expert in one thing means that you have to have so much dedication and you have to really concentrate on it. You don't become expert in something just by yawning. You have to work on it. First of all, you should have some innate ability, and then that has to be developed. But with Krishna, he's the source of everything, so all the abilities and skills and knowledge is all within him. Yeah, Radharani, she has all the 64 arts. She's expert in all of them. If we have some very nice food, that's very pleasing. So Radharani is the best cook. She pleases Krishna by her cooking. If there's very nice music, that's very pleasing. It's a great art how to cook, how to make very nice music. Radharani is expert in that, in dancing, in everything. She's expert. Krishna, he's also expert. Although he does learn also. He learns how to dance from Radharani, so she can keep up with her. She is his better half. So he doesn't need to be instructed. He already knows everything, so he doesn't need to be led. Although he may take the role of being led by others also. As Rama, he was obedient to his father. I just gave that example. Then he was superficially disobedient, because then when his father told him, no, actually, don't go to the forest. But Rama, he had his own understanding. That when I said, I'll go to the forest on your order, I did so because that was the proper thing to do, according to Dharma. Now you are saying something different. Rama remained most respectful to his father. But he said, but now I cannot follow this, because I already gave my word to follow this order. So Rama himself, although very respectful and obedient, he understood what is the path of Dharma, and he wouldn't be led away from it. There are so many examples. Rama is the personification of Dharma. Even others might criticize him. He banished Sita because he had to uphold the highest principles of Dharma. So, all right, that's all I'll say for now. Anaya in Baladeva Vidyabhushan's commentary. Those who ignore his orders cannot attain an auspicious destination. All right, any question, please, about this? All right, so we'll finish. Hare Krishna! Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Vishnu Sahasranama ki jai.